But I got to do things backwards because, again, as much as I love giving the business at the beginning of class, I understand getting here sometimes is a pain in the ass. Look out the window, there's a line of traffic as far down the road as you can see. So we'll do the quiz at the end of the class.
It's awful.
The other thing, I received a notice, and I've never seen anything like this before. This is something new that I received from the college. I don't know if you received it. Let's see if I can read it. It's not fun getting old. You would have received a survey request from something called an EAB Navigate campaign. Did you get that in your student email?
No.
I love it how everyone grabs their phones. It's a survey of student engagement. It has nothing to do with this course. It's not a course survey, but rather they're looking for data. Something to do with the college. I don't know. No, you didn't receive that? All right. Well, if for some reason you do get an email, because I got an email saying that this class was targeted, just when you get a chance, respond. It would have came... Oh, actually, crap, I'm a week ahead of schedule. It's going to be next week. So it's going to come the 16th through the 20th. So if you could, if you get that email, just take care of it. Oh, it looks like the college is going to use the data to possibly get more grants. So if you do participate, it will ultimately be beneficial to you and the students who will walk in your footsteps. Okay, cool. We got that off. I didn't forget about that. So why don't we start off with the homeworks? Cases. Good cases. Interesting cases. Challenging cases. And one case that is precedent setting. Why don't we start off at the top? We're going to start off with Elk Grove Unified School District v. Newdow.
My marker out because we have to do it in the form of Iraq.
What is the issue? We can do it as a group. What is the issue?
Whether Newdow has had standing as a non-custodial parent to challenge the school's district pledge policy.
Standing. Whether Newdow has standing. What is standing?
I'm
going to take some of your words and I'm going to realign them. In order to go to court, in order to sue, you must have
standing.
Because standing implies what? We talked about this several weeks ago. Standing implies what? If you're able to walk over the threshold into the court, what does that imply? Something happened to you, right? Okay, and what also do you have to have? Something has to happen to you and the other part that's standing.
Evidence?
Well, yeah, that's gathered. But you have to be able to do what? So you're claiming that someone did something to you. No.
You have to say who did what.
You have to be able to say who did it. As far as the proof goes, that's gathered during discovery. But standing involves those two necessary components. You are claiming that someone did something to you, and you know who did it. Step one of having a case. So we are dealing with this issue of standing. So if someone was to give me a general rule that could answer this, what would it be?
Standing occurs when someone personally experiences active damage against them.
So we got standing from damage to them. And throw in my other part, because that's something we cannot forget.
And you have to prove who did it to me.
And the who. Okay. So now we know what the mistake potentially was made in the courts below. Standing was either given or standing was denied. So how do we prove standing? Well, now we get to begin with the facts, the analysis. What the heck is going on in this case? What do you got?
Udo has a daughter.
So we got a dad with daughter.
And they were not saying to pledge allegiance.
Who wasn't saying the pledge?
The school district as well. Like they weren't doing the pledge.
The school wasn't doing the pledge?
No.
We sure about that? I thought the school was doing the pledge.
Hold on. Oh. Sorry, it was like a Nito alleged standing to sue on behalf of daughter at the next crime.
We gotta take a few steps back.
Sorry.
Alright, okay. So again, let's go back to this first crucial point. We got a dad with a daughter. Daughter's in school. The school is saying the pledge, but what's the issue?
He's an atheist.
He's an atheist. He doesn't like the word G-O-D. How does that come into play? What would be religious freedom?
It's not having to say it because you don't believe in something that you're saying.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, the Republic, which is one nation.
Under God.
Under God. Indivisible. With liberty and justice for all. So, is this true? Dad is harmed because his daughter said G-O-D?
Yes.
Well, I think that's what motivated him to sue. But can he sue claiming he suffered damage because of something that's going on with the daughter?
Yes.
Really?
He's the parent.
But again, in order to have standing, you said plaintiff had to have damage to them. Did dad suffer damage because daughter is saying God?
Yes, because he's an ordained minister in the atheist church.
Dad suffered the harm. Is that what this is about? Isn't he alleging that daughter is suffering harm? You can't sue if someone else is getting harmed. You only can sue if you're getting harmed. So he's not saying he's getting harmed. He's saying the daughter is being harmed. But can he sue in her place? Oh, yes. Okay. Okay, so he's not alleging he's harmed. He's alleged that she's harmed, but he wants to sue in her place. What gives him the right to do it?
He's the dad.
He's the dad. Oh, parental rights. Parental rights. Okay. Anyone want to continue on the facts? Now we get the key facts laid. What do we got?
So he filed the case on behalf, on his own behalf, on the behalf of his daughter. The district court dismissed the case and ruled that the pledge did not violate the Constitution. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals reversed and found the pledge unconstitutional. The child's mother later filed a motion stating she had sole legal custody of the daughter. She also stated that her daughter was Christian and had no objection to the pledge. The court ordered that the father couldn't represent his daughter in the lawsuit.
Okay. Did everyone follow that? So... What?
I said I think so.
Oh. Well, I just kind of let you go. All right, so we've got a situation here. Dad is upset. Dad's an atheist. What's an atheist?
Person that doesn't believe.
Well, actually, the funny thing is, an atheist actually does have beliefs. They do have beliefs. Everyone has beliefs. Atheism is, it's a religion unto itself, in the truest meaning of the word religion. A set of values out of which you get morality. But he got issue with a three-letter word. He has an issue with God. And he's claiming that's a violation of, well, he can't say his constitutional rights. But he's claiming it's a violation of the daughter's constitutional rights. How so? How so? How does saying the Pledge of Allegiance violate any constitutional right? What does that mean?
So it means that if you don't believe in God per se, you don't, like, you're religious, like, you have the freedom to believe what you want to believe.
Okay.
So if you don't believe in God, why do you have to, why are you forced to say that?
Okay, does anyone disagree? Or agree?
Well, one thing though is the school allowed for religious exceptions, so she wouldn't have had to say it.
Oh.
But it combines.
Wait, hold on a second. So we're saying being forced could be a constitutional violation, but she was not being forced?
No, she wasn't. The school district does allow students who object on religious grounds to abstain.
So where the heck is the harm? I'm confused. Can someone help me out?
It hurts church and state together.
Does it though? Do you know what that actually means? First Amendment? There's no such thing as separation of church and state. First Amendment says the national government cannot create a national church like the Church of England. Because if you know history, there was a time when the king actually controlled the church. And everybody had to be part of the church by law. That's what the First Amendment is. The Establishment Clause. But you have the free exercise. You have the right to be whatever religion you want. So again, we have to be clear here what the First Amendment actually says. So she's not being forced. She doesn't have to go get baptized. She doesn't have to take forced communion. She doesn't have to follow any rules of obligation. Like if you're Catholic, better not eat meat on Friday. Better go to the local church and get the fish fried. Church says so. She's not having that happen to her, is she? She doesn't have to do anything if she doesn't want to. So where's the harm?
He was, he said that the free is under God violated the Establishment Clause and Free Exercise Clause of the First Amendment.
Under God. Under God. So we got the Establishment Clause, which I said, Establishment Clause. In the free exercise. Hmm. Interesting.
Interesting. We have a conundrum here. We have lots of stuff we need to contemplate.
Is he right? Or does it even matter? Well, let's dial it all the way back to the beginning. Because like I told you when we did the cases last time, most of the facts are not relevant. They're only there to help you understand what was going on. The only thing that's important is the issue. Does he have standing to have a court decide whether the Pledge of Allegiance is a violation of the First Amendment?
No, he doesn't have legal custody.
Legal custody, what is that? What's legal custody?
He doesn't take full charge of the daughter, but they share the daughter.
Do they share? Does the both parents have joint custody?
No.
What does he have?
The non-custodial parent.
What does that mean?
It means he gets visitations every so often, but that's about it.
Yeah.
He has to pay child support.
He can see his daughter, but he doesn't control the daughter. Who controls the daughter? The mother does. And what is the right of a custodial parent? What are some of the basic rights of a custodial parent?
They have the power over, she has more power than him. She has the full legal custody over him. Is it the entire time to see the child?
Okay, so you're right. I'm not... Everything you said was completely right. But what does that mean? Full legal custody. What can mom do for daughter, or to daughter, that he legally cannot?
She can do what exactly he's trying to do
in this position. Oh! If a parent has full legal custody, they essentially can control the child. Including... instill religion into the child. What's her religion? Christian. Does mom have issue with a three-letter word? Does daughter have issue with three-letter word? Did daughter ever once say she did not want to participate in the pledge? So what is he trying to do here? And does he get his day in court? We know what he's trying to do because he's an atheist. Atheists have been trying to do this for decades. But does he have the right to bring this claim? No, he does not. So is there anything else in this case that's relevant that we need to worry about?
Well, in California, non-custodial parents have the right, and they choose, the court chooses not to decide when it's a religious thing. But the non-custodial parent does have the right...
to do what?
To be able to say that that's something that...
to share.
And it says,
so dad can share, but is daughter obligated to follow?
No.
So no.
You're not hearing what, like, from what I got, you're not really hearing. Like, when you're asking that question, I'm like, we didn't hear what the kid has to say. And it's an elementary kid, so it's definitely not somebody who's over the age of 12 that they would ask the questions in the court.
The only important fact in there is it is mentioned that the daughter had no problem saying it. That's the only thing that's important. So does dad have a right to teach her his values?
No. Yes.
Under California law, he does.
Yes.
But does he have a right to control her values? No. Who has the right to control her values?
No.
Mother. Until... the daughter becomes the age of consent.
But in the, because I looked up the California law, I like searched that because you said you need to understand the standing and all that stuff. So I looked up all those things because I'm like, okay, I'm very confused on this because there's so many different things that play into this. And the 1954 Act, when I Googled that, came up with like five different things, and there's something like in California that's a law, there's something that the federal government...
So, yeah, the federal government, the federal law trumps. So the 1954 is what put under God in.
But then at the same time, there was, when I Googled it, it came up with the 1954 law of the communism. Like that came up there, so I was like,
right.
Okay, I'm assuming it's the under God, and I didn't understand if they played together because knowing how history was at that time.
Yes, that's exactly why under God was put in there.
So that was my assumption, but you never assumed.
Yeah, no, you were 100% right on that.
So it was
history. Like, history and context is important.
So it like looked at it, and I was like looking at all the different things. So that just added more confusion to this to say, okay, wait, what is the real breakdown of this?
Gotcha. I got you. But at the end of the day, because it did get up to the Supreme Court simply said they're not going to decide because he has no standing. That he has no standing. If you don't have standing, you don't have a right to bring a case. Even if there are interesting points that could be highlighted. Crazy stuff. Questions? All right, let's do another one. Second case, Bridgeton. Oh, Bridgeton. Oh, man. Bridgeton. Bridgeton takes us from standing to bystander rule of obligation. Oh, boy. What's the issue? That means the trial court used what?
Janov.
Ooh. Was Janov proper? Ooh. When can a trial court use Janov? We talked about this already. We did it last round, remember?
When the judge thinks there's not enough evidence for a reasonable jury to make a
yes, but what did the jury do that the judge thought was wrong? Because Janov, the jury has already rendered a decision, and the judge is basically saying, "Nah."
They awarded plaintiff.
So maybe the jury didn't have enough or proper evidence to come up with its determination. In other words, it just took the facts, ignored them. It did something that 99% of juries would never do. And what did this jury do that was so violent and evil and horrendous?
They found the authority guilty of negligence and awarded $175,000.
Jury awarded damages and judge said, no damages. I sense a conspiracy here. All right, so rule... What type of rule could we establish to help us make sense of whether the court is acting properly? What do we got?
Bystander's rule of obligation states that the employee did not have a duty to render aid unless he created the danger.
Okay. What does duty mean?
Does he have to render aid? Warn or take action towards?
That's the best one. Duty means you're supposed to do something. So under the bystander's rule of obligation, you don't have to do anything unless you created the harm. Anyone have any issue with that? So yes, in this crazy world, and I see the little videos on the YouTubes and stuff every now and then of something really bad happening in the background and people doing like this. Oh, look what's going on, I can't believe it. They legally can do that. They don't have to get involved. Unless, of course, they're the ones responsible for what's going on. Different scenario. All right, so let's see if we can figure out why the heck the jury decided to give money to this plaintiff. Who was the plaintiff?
Who's this? A kid. Joe. 11 years old. What did Joe do?
Joseph went to visit a friend in another building.
Okay, so where's the harm in that? Any of you ever go visit friends before?
The boys went into the elevator and climbed through an escape hatch in the elevator's ceiling.
Okay. There's an escape hatch in an elevator? Why would there be a hatch in an elevator?
In case it gets stuck.
Oh. Or, alternatively, it gives you the opportunity to go elevator surfing.
Which is what this kid did.
Hmm. True story. I did my undergrad years at the zoo. The University of Massachusetts in Amherst. And I lived in Southwest, which is the residential area that has the five towers named after presidents. I happen to live in John Adams. But there was, when we were there, a situation that happened in Coolidge Tower, where a kid decided to go elevator surfing. So what you do is, you go in there with a friend, you climb up on the top, and then you hit buttons. Have any of you ever seen what's inside of an elevator shaft? It's not just the car. The car actually rides on tracks. And there's a lot of room around the tracks. Meaning, there's free space. So you climb up on top, and as the pulleys, you know, take it up and down, you can go da 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 da. But here's the thing. This individual was lacking mental capacity in the moment. And he did one of these. And I'm sure there was a loud thud from which he never walked away from. He fell 21 stories. So this kid decided to do that. And what happened to him?
He fell.
Did he go all the way down? No, he did not. He started falling and he got stuck. He was pretty close to the car. And what could happen every time the car went up and down, and up and down? Squish, 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 squish. Did he die? Was he there forever? What happened after he fell?
One of the kid's friends went and told his mom.
Oh man, he's in trouble. Gotta go tell mommy on him. Did mommy come inside and scream at the kid? You're so grounded. What did mom do?
Trying to get help from, it was a maintenance employee.
Maintenance employee? What was he going to do? Sweep the broom? Paint the wall?
Shut the power
off. What?
Trying to get him to shut the power off.
Oh! Maintenance guy can shut the power off. Why are you going to shut the power off?
Stop it. You're going up in
there. No more squish, 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 right? Okay. All right. Okay, does he?
No.
Why not? Does he have to help?
I think yes.
What does the law say?
Well, he's an employee. He wasn't just a... I thought if you were an employee...
Hold on. Employee. What does that mean?
He worked at...
forget the exact project, but it's housing, public housing. Okay. So what does that mean?
That he does have a duty of care.
He has a duty of care. Duty of care. Duty of care. To do what?
To help.
To help. But did he put the kid in harm's way?
No.
I'm confused. If he had a duty of care...
And he wasn't in the vicinity.
And what?
And he wasn't in the vicinity.
Oh, so he didn't see it happen?
No.
Oh. Okay. Now we have to think. We have to think. I'm getting more confused. So, maintenance guy was somewhere in the building. Mom found him. Mom freaked out. Ah! Shut the app power off. And he said no. But he's an employee of the building, and he has a duty of care. What's the kid's status as someone who enters the land of another? Is he a trespasser? Does he have a right to be on the land? Okay, he's a what? An invitee. Is he a public invitee or a private invitee?
I would say private, but public because you could walk into a housing thing.
Who owns the facility?
Boston Public Housing.
And that's what?
Public.
Government.
Private.
Government. It's public. But what does invitee status give you? Where can you go?
Only
where you are allowed to go. Where was this kid allowed to go? To his friends. In the elevator.
Not on top.
But was he allowed to go on top?
No.
The moment you go somewhere where you're not supposed to go, you are what?
Trespasser.
What duty does the owner of the land, or their agent as an employee, owe to trespassers?
Nothing.
Nothing.
He's a child.
Can I have to throw that into it, man?
The mortals are not here.
Okay. Yes.
Because the exception to trespassing falls under attractive nuisances for children.
Ooh. Attractive news. Oh, I do. Attractive news? What's that?
Something that gets kids' attention to go there.
Oh, attractive nuisance. Something that could potentially lure a kid to. A kid sees the hatch. Could a child, is it foreseeable that a child might sit back and think, what's up there? Could a reasonable person foresee an average, everyday child being curious as to what's on the other side? So, if you have an attractive nuisance, what type of duty does the law impose? On the video, I used the example of the pool. What do you legally have to do with pools if you own a pool?
If it's underground, you have to have a fence.
You have to have a fence that's too high. You have to have a lock. You have to do everything reasonable to deter the child.
Let's be honest. In an elevator, as an adult, I look up there. How the heck am I getting up there? There's no
shoulders.
Way an 11-year-old, like shoulders.
Shoulders.
That, that's, I get that, but like a nuisance for a child? That, like it's like, oh, let me
kids
see
are
that.
Curious.
Like, so they're curious, but how are they going to climb that?
They like, got up there, shoulders.
I know they got up there, but like that, to me, is not the responsibility of that. Because, and honestly, the hatch is usually, yes, we have the stupid idiots in college that do that because I know exactly the stories you're talking about. But when you're in that elevator, and we used to get stuck where I lived, where I had gone to school before, we used to get stuck in the elevator. We had to jump to get the thing to move. And I would never think to go up there because it was so hard to get to that because you have to pop the latch because the latch is intended to open from the outside.
Correct. Correct. But what year was this case?
69.
Do you think they actually had the same standards of elevator locking mechanisms that they do today? No, it probably just had like a little pop, little open trap door. So, we got a whole bunch of possible legal ideas going on here.
He has a duty to help. He has.
He has a duty to help. Says who?
Isn't it an emergency?
Did he create the harm?
No.
Is the kid somewhere where legally he had a right to be?
No.
I can't get over this. How are we going to get over the hump? Because obviously the original jury thought yes, because they awarded damages. You know how you overcome it? Negligence. Did he create the harm? No. Wasn't an emergency situation? Yes. Did this emergency situation require to put himself in harm's way? No. What did it require him to do? Which, by the way, he was the only one in the building that had the ability to do it.
Turn off the power.
How hard is it to there we go. That's how we do it. Very hard, obviously. How hard is it to flick a switch?
Hard.
Where do you think the fuse panel was?
Somewhere where he knew.
Somewhere where he knew. Somewhere where only he had access to. It's not like he had to climb in there and scurry down the ropes and pull the kid out. It's not like he had to put his life on the line. All he had to do, and by the way, all that would have done is stopped the harm from the point he knew. Did he know the kid fell in the shaft when it happened? No. Was he there? No. Is he responsible for that? No. But what happened the moment he learned that the kids was in harm's way and he did nothing? There's your negligence. Duty. As the sole keeper of the keys, you have a legal responsibility to shut the elevator off when someone is getting harmed on the elevator. Did he fulfill his duty? No, he breached his duty. Was this breach the proximate cause of the harm that the child suffered every second after he learned that this situation was going on? Was it foreseeable? Kid continues to get squished if he's trapped dangling in the wires. Did the kid actually suffer harm? We just established all the elements of negligence. So did he throw the kid in the well? No. Did he encourage the kid? Did he bait the kid to get in the elevator? No. But is he responsible for everything that happens afterwards?
Yeah.
100%. 100%.
Questions? So here we go. This was a Massachusetts case, by the way. Our Supreme Judicial Court found that the janitor was negligent toward the boy, and the owner of the building was liable because of the janitor's negligence. And what the court basically said was, where there is a public property owner and he learns that a trespasser is helplessly trapped on the premises, the owner owes a duty of reasonable care to prevent further injury. And if necessary, a duty to take reasonable affirmative action.
This was a leading case in Massachusetts that created another exception to the bystander's rule of obligation, whereby an owner of a business is essentially liable for the employee's negligence. Questions? How many people thought the jury, originally what you wrote down, because this was you be the judge, how many people think the trial judge got it wrong? How many people think the trial court judge got it right? That he was right to overturn the decision? Okay, good. That's what I want to see. I want to see different opinions. Because again, here's one of the most amazing things about the legal situation. There was nothing on the books prior to this case that would have resulted in the housing association from being liable. The SJC used its power as the Supreme Judicial Court to create this exception. So now, any business in Massachusetts from 1966 onward is liable if someone comes into your store and they get harmed and that harm was foreseeable. Even if it's kind of kooky. Questions? Cool. One last case. Tarasov. This is another leading case. I actually mentioned this one in the video because this was one of the exceptions to the bystander rule that I wanted you to learn. What's the issue in Tarasov? No, the issue.
Oh.
I only want the issue.
Why did the trial court err in suspending the defense standards to plaintiff's complaint?
So we got a demur. I'm going to spell it wrong. I think that's demur. Did I spell it right?
Awesome. All right. What is a demur? Kind of.
Not self-incrimination.
Kind of. Yeah, I'll buy that. Anyone else?
Demure admits that the facts are true, but they, regardless if it's true or not, it's still not enough to prove anything.
Yeah, it's kind of like saying, okay, so. All right. So, could we come up with a potential rule to determine anything out of this case? What type of rules should we think of when we're trying to figure out the fact? The defendant's kind of saying, like, yeah, so what?
Would it be that the provider would need to advise that the client was telling them that they wanted to cause harm to somebody else? Would that be the rule?
That's the end. That's okay. The exception that was created by this.
Okay.
But I suppose fine, we'll put the spoilers in. So we'll say that a psychiatrist owes duty to no bystander's rule of obligation says what?
Says one has no duty to assist someone in peril unless they created the danger.
Okay. No duty to do anything unless you created the danger. What happened here?
A man named Kodar killed Tatiana.
Ooh! Murder! How did he do it? Did he shoot her? Did he run her over the car? Did he hit her with a baseball bat? Did he push her down the stairs? Did he poison her?
No, I'm pretty sure he beat her and then shot her.
Beat her half to death and then put a little bit of lead into her body and she died. What an asshole. What did she do to him? Okay. We have to be serious here. Because bless you, this kind of stuff happens all the time. What do you think she did to him?
She rejected his feelings for her.
She kind of went, ew. Because apparently he was in love with her. Maybe he lusted her. Who knows? But she, by the way, serious adult question. If someone makes any type of proposition to you, do you have to accept?
No.
No. Okay. What else we got going on here?
He told his therapist that he wanted to kill
Was he involved in the murder? Did he help plan the murder? So was he an accessory? But he knew. How did he know?
He told him.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
I guess his brother was kind of living in the same apartment, and Kodar persuaded his brother to live near him. Showed her where their residence was.
So he was stalking her.
Yeah.
Ooh. So therapist knew that he wanted to kill her. Brother knew that he was interested in her. Were anything else interesting vis-a-vis the facts?
He was committed to a mental hospital.
Psychotic.
But then released. Because the cops determined that he appeared rationally.
Well, hold on a second. Did he actually go into an institution, or was he detained?
Oh, no, he was detained. The therapist wanted to commit him.
Oh, so the therapist... Therapist? Was the therapist a rat? Mm-hmm. Therapist called the police? Mm-hmm. And the police detained, then released. Oh. I can't spell right now. Released. There we go. In order for the police to put you into custody, what must the police have? To actually hold you.
Evidence.
Evidence of what?
A crime.
Probable cause.
Probable cause that a crime has been committed. Had there been a crime committed? Have any of you ever talked to anybody who was insane?
Yes.
I don't mean proverbially. I mean literally, clinically insane.
But yes, I have.
How do they seem when you talk to them?
Normal.
Normal! You know, people lose their shit in a moment's notice. People don't have like a little sign on their chest that says, I'm a homicidal maniac and I'm gonna kill someone today. That would make it easy. But that's not what it's like in real life. So therapist, by the way, did therapist have a legal duty to call the police?
Yeah.
He did?
No.
Doctor-patient confidentiality.
But she did have to tell the family and the victim.
Well, that's what the court said afterwards. Don't get ahead of us.
But he didn't quit in the August 1969 when he went, he was sent for the inpatient therapy. He didn't state a name. He just said that he wanted to kill an unnamed girl.
So new intent, but not who. Oh.
Another thing it said was she was detailed and readily identifiable as Tatiana.
Oh, he said enough that he could figure it out.
Yeah.
Did he tell them about her?
No.
Should he have told them about her? Maybe. But did he have to tell them about her? Why? Doctor-patient confidentiality. Did not have to, in the moment, do that next step. But he did try doing something. Called, they did this, then they did that. Was it enough?
No.
How do we know?
Because
she killed her. It's kind of obvious, right? That's kind of the dead giveaway, no pun intended. Yeah, he ceases to be. All right. This created a very interesting circumstance, no? Because is he the one that created the harm? No. And under the bystander's rule of obligation, if he didn't create the harm, did he even have to do that? Wicked harsh, right? We have a dead girl. What did the trial court rule, out of curiosity? Did the trial court fine for the girl, or did the trial court fine for the college? They found for the college because it goes back to the demur. They didn't deny any of what was just said. But at the end of the day, they simply sat back on the law as it existed in the time. We had no legal duty to do anything. And because we have no legal duty to do anything, can we be liable for the harm that occurred?
No, not at all. So, as hard as it's going to sound, the trial court ruled correctly based on the way the law was. But what can the appellate courts, the higher courts, do that the lower courts cannot? When you get up to the Supreme Court, they can make law. They can carve out exceptions. Because how many people in our country today, what do we got? 350-odd million people living within the borders of these United States of America? How many people do you think we have in our society today that are walking amongst us? Could be in this room. That are psychotic, have violent tendencies, and have confess to somebody of their intentions to do harm to another. Obviously, we know our counseling services, our therapists, We don't have enough of them. That's clear. But those who go, if they say something, does it make sense? If you know someone's going to do something, does it make sense for you to be able to just walk away and be like, meh? Is that the kind of society we want to live in? It was great in the 1600s, 1500s, when the bystander's rule of obligation was created. But we live in more complex times. So what do you think the TerraSoft court did in creating the TerraSoft exception to the bystander's rule of obligation?
They created a special relationship.
Special relationship. Exception. If the special relationship involves doctor or psychiatrist, with either A, if there's a special relationship between a doctor or psychiatrist with either the person who needs to be controlled, the person who may harm another, or they're in a special relationship with the person who may be harmed, court imposes a duty to warn. You don't have to go out and act as a human shield. You don't have to go out and detain the person who's going to do violence. All you need to do, pick up the phone and call someone and say, hey, you got to be careful because so-and-so is looking to do you harm. How much time do you think that would have taken the therapist to do, particularly once enough evidence came to him when he kind of figured out who it potentially could be? How much time do you think that would have taken?
Not
in if even. Could he be bothered to do it? Now what do you think they're going to do? Now they will.
Is this where mandated reporters fall?
Massachusetts imposed a statute that went even beyond that. But yes, that's that. This was the beginning. And now it has been put into statute in different forms. So, like, if now the special relationship in Massachusetts involves, like, teachers, it involves counselors, it involves anyone who really works out there and has, you know, knowledge. If there's some type of special relationship that exists, they have a duty to at least to warn. All right, questions on any of these cases? Hand them in. Close up your notebooks. Since everyone is here who's here, we're going to have your quiz now. No. Just close your notebooks. I have paper for you. Alright, so I'm going to do 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
do one, two. Is that someone? Is that yours? Four, five, yes. One, two, three, four, five. Did I have too many? Can I just count? Oh, there you go. Go for it. And if we can finish quick enough, we'll grade it in class. So I'll give you 10 minutes. Quiz at your desk.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
That's still quizzing? Seconds. So much distraction. Switch them up. Get someone else's paper. Put your name down on the bottom. So when you get someone else's paper, put your name down on the bottom.
It's okay.
Everyone has someone else's paper? All right. Defendant driving his automobile at the legal speed in a residential zone. Is that the right one? I have two quizzes on here. Shit, which one did I get?
Is the heroin.
The heroin one. All right, my bad. Wrong side. All right. Defendant sold heroin to an addict. The addict was later stopped by the police for criminal speeding. Lots of bad things going on, huh? The police searched the addict's car and found the heroin concealed under the rear seat. If a police has a legal reason to stop you, what can they do vis-a-vis your automobile?
A warrantless search.
They can do a warrantless search. That means they can look around anywhere in the compartment. What can they not do? If you have a car that actually has a separate trunk, can't go in there and they can't. Like, if it's a woman's purse and it's closed, they can't go in that. But anything that's open and can be seen, they can search. So he finds the drugs, gets charged with selling. Defendant tried claiming that that was obtained through an illegal feature. Do you think the court's going to agree? No, that motion to suppress is going to be denied because the defendant has no standing to object to the search. Police have a right to do it. There's nothing unlawful about that. Blah, 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 blah. Women did Trojan. Found child porn. Oh, yeah, that's C, by the way. C on number one. Child porn. Talks to a federal agent. Agent says, go for it. She does it again. Guy's gonna keep you brought up on charges, but he tries to suppress that evidence. Is this going to be granted or denied? It's gonna be granted, okay. Granted on what? Is it going to be granted on all the pictures? No. What set of pictures is it going to be granted on?
The second set.
The second set. Because the moment the federal agent gets involved, she's acting as an agent of the federal government. And what must the federal government do to enter your computer? They have to get a warrant. Did she get a warrant? No. So they'll get her for the first one, but they can't get her for all the rest. We'll get them for all the rest. So D. D is the correct answer to number two. All right. Whew. Lots of reading there. Lots of distractions. Three. Reprogram cellular telephone. Intercepted electronic fund transferred. Rerouted them to Miguel's bank account. What crime is that? That's wire fraud. Wire fraud. Anything that involves intercepting legal transmissions. That's wire fraud. All right, Sid burned his own warehouse in an attempt to collect on a fire insurance policy. Did Sid commit a crime? What crime did he commit? Wait, you can burn your own building down and be charged with a crime? But it's yours.
But he
intended
to steal money from the insurance company.
Well, he's trying to perpetuate insurance fraud, yeah. Absolutely. You do not have a right to legally burn your own house down. You do have a right to dispose of your own property, but you do not have a right to commit arson. Okay, very good. That's A. And last one, fraudulent conversion of property, which is already lawfully in the defendant's possession, is called a what?
Embezzlement.
So if you work as a cashier at McDonald's, and you're helping yourself to the 20s that the customers gave you, you have a right to hold money. You don't have a right to put it in your pocket.
Oh, wait, number four is A.
Four is A. So it's C, D, B, A, C.
It's not larceny, it's arson.
Four is A, arson. Four is arson. Because it's not larceny, it's insurance fraud. That's a crime in itself. It's not larceny. Different crime. Questions? Give it back to the owner, see how well you did, then pass them forward so I can put it in my grade book. And by the way, you are going to get a big stack when I see you on Monday. Everything has been graded, I just got to get it to you. Hopefully everybody got at least one right. Pass them up. Make sure your names are on. Pass them up. So, your homework is to have a hell of a weekend. And I'll see you all on Monday. I've worked you enough this week.
Yeah.
Get them to me before the day's over.
Can I know you
email them to me.
Okay, I'll write it and then I'll put a picture.
Just type it.
Thank you.
Yep.
I saw like all the audios and stuff. They're all from like the first class. Like, are they all posted?
Yeah, everything is up to date. Okay. Yeah. No. The only ones that I don't have audio up there for.